developing a sense of respect, like your process is not my process and my process is not your process. Yeah. Trying to approach each other in a way that's best for each of us so that we both feel heard and appreciated, seen, and that our needs are being taken care of.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
All right, 18 Summers Tribe, we're here with friends, mentors, feel like family, Jason and Candace Gaynard. Welcome.
Mentor sounds very heavy.
I know. We consider you guys that too. So it's, I got like, this reciprocal
camaraderie
relationship. It's
a mentoring camaraderie, that's for sure.
Companions on the path.
Yes.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I feel like we're always learning from one another or teaching one another. Like, it's never a stagnant relationship. I feel like you'll share something and I'm like, oh, that's so good. Or, you know, and I think that that's what's beautiful about the two of you is that you give and you receive. And I think that not everyone can do that. And I know it's difficult to receive and it's an art. So thanks for being peers on our path.
Well, and I wanted to talk about small beginnings. When me and Jamie were talking about getting ready for this, Mastermind Talks is now very well known. It's well known. You guys have had incredible experiences, thought leaders, authors, entrepreneurs. And it's great to see that. And people go, oh, yeah, you know, and I've had, Jason, I was like, well, yeah. And they're like, whoa, I've been wanting to, but it didn't start like that for you guys.
You started by having like Jim on your stage.
It was, I know. It was like, you had to.
Very humble beginnings.
Yes. Yeah. But no, those.
You start by saying small beginnings and then you point out that Jim was on the stage.
That's it. Well, they're very entwined. That's for sure. And I'll even tell a story on that. But I love how, and right now, and you guys have been so kind to the boys, you know, being involved with the events, our older boys, you know, this is a lesson on small beginnings. So I would love for you just to talk about the small beginnings because everyone sees this big event with all these rock stars that show up at it. But this started really small, really organic, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and at any time you want to just.
I know. Yeah, you know,
this is a very interesting dynamic.
We both know this off by heart.
I have plenty of questions for Candace.
Exactly.
Too,
so okay, good, I can get on my little soapbox sometimes and I just like put blinders on.
That's all right. You can have this one.
So the origin story is, I guess there's some humility to it as far as how we got here. So, I had an e-commerce business. When Candace and I actually first started dating, she met me and I had an e-commerce business. But it was an industry I didn't like. I think like many entrepreneurs, when you venture into starting business, oftentimes your goals are very financial driven. But ultimately, I realized I built a business I hated to enable me to buy things I didn't need to impress people I didn't like. And I'm one of those individuals. It's a strength and a fault at times that like when I realize I'm not in alignment, I have to make a sharp turn, regardless of the consequences. And that's what I did. I decided to kind of scale that business down to zero and start something new. Unfortunately, things didn't go as planned. We landed $250,000 in cash debt in August of 2012. I had no business, no cash flow, didn't know what we were going to do next. That happened in August. September 1st, we got married. And September 1st, our daughter turned 6 months old.
Wow.
So there was a lot of transition happening, so to speak. And then I felt very... A friend of mine actually had a ticket to go see Seth Godin in New York. I had no other obligations at the time, didn't know what I was going to do next, but I've been a huge fan of Seth's work for some time. And when I saw this opportunity, she posted it on social media. I was like, well, I'll take advantage of it. And thankfully, Candace was supportive of me using whatever little money we had left to, buy a plane ticket. And I stayed in the hospital for the first and last time ever. I didn't know shared bathrooms were a thing. But ultimately went to that workshop and turns out the theme of it was the connection economy and how there's huge value connecting like-minded individuals. And I felt very just isolated as an entrepreneur at the time. So I started doing these things called mastermind dinners where I'd invite 8 entrepreneurs out for dinner with the core purpose of connecting them and just got clarity that it was something I wanted to do to some capacity, not as a business, but just, I just love the energy around it. And then I still remember the day I did a couple of these dinners and a few months later, had an opportunity to do an event with Tim Ferriss. Mm. How that fell in my lap was I had met him a year prior. I actually went to an event that he hosted and he was coming out with a book called The 4-Hour Chef. And the one thing about this book, up until that point, he had 2 big books or bestsellers under his belt. He had The 4-Hour Workweek, which was his breakout book. And then he had The 4-Hour Body. A couple of weeks before releasing The 4-Hour Chef, he realized that he was going to be banned from all retail distribution So Barnes & Noble, Walmart, everybody. And the reason for that, he was the first big name author to publish through Amazon. And the old publishing arm wanted to make an example out of him for that reason. So he was creative and created these. It's now common practice now in our circle, but back then he was the first author to create these book bundles that if you bought 40 books, you get a blender. You know, bought 100 books, you get something else. We had this like long shot package that if you bought 4,000 books, he'd do two speaking engagements. And when I saw that, I sent an email to a friend of mine. And the minute I clicked send, because he does these big events in Canada, the minute I clicked send, I said, you know what, this is a great opportunity for anyone because Tim's never spoken in Canada and he doesn't speak that often. So I emailed Tim, and if correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is the way the story goes, but I emailed Tim and I said, you know what, I'll take the package because he was only offering one. And I remember going upstairs. And then did I tell you? Was I?
No,
I wasn't honest about it.
No. So you shared it and it happened that
And I shared it on social media. I didn't even talk to her about it.
You just shared it. Like this would be a great opportunity kind of thing or whatever. And then I opened up my computer and I saw that and I kind of stopped. And then I heard him coming up the stairs and I just had this feeling of like, what's he about to say to me? And he opened the door and we like looked at each other and I was like, what'd you do? Like I just knew like something was
happened.
Yeah. And the challenge was, I mean, we didn't know how we were going to make rent. We were living on gift cards at the time as a result of like, we had American Express credit cards before in my last business and I cashed them all out because I knew they were going to freeze the credit cards. So I cashed out all the points and got gift cards and we used those gift cards for groceries, for buying clothes.
You bought your wedding outfit with gift cards.
I forgot that story. She reminded me recently. Like, we like clamored together these gift cards to buy wedding outfits. It wasn't pretty. But ultimately, it led into us doing the event. But at that time, when we had no money, I had to come up with $84,000 to buy those 4,000 books and only had 3 days to do it. And I reached out to three friends. And the third one, they were all very open to it. But the third one said, just come to my office tomorrow and pick up a check. And I didn't ask any more questions. I got the money, wired Tim the money. And then I reached out to Jim. I'm like, Jim, I need speakers. Yeah. And Jim was kind of, I don't even remember how we connected in another.
Well, let me tell you what happened. And this is the lesson of
our
small beginnings.
It's not nearly as exciting as yours.
Well, no. I love this small beginnings.
Some days are very much.
Well, yeah, but we've all been in cash crunches as entrepreneurs. No one wants to talk about that, but we all know it's true. There's things that go right, things that go wrong. And it's a very uncomfortable thing. And I just love how you're like, look, I had a few dinners. I took this risk. We're on gift cards. And this is what happened. And I remember we were at Joe Polish's. And I'm like, wow, this guy, super nice guy. He's doing this event with Tim Ferriss. Good for him. Like, it just seemed so big. And it was someone said to me, I can't remember who it was. Hey, you need to follow up and do a family talk at his thing.
You told me recently it was Joey.
It might have been Joey or it might have been Gail, the speaker.
Could be. I'm going to go through, dig through my emails. Yeah.
But I almost, whoever it was, Joey or Gail, I said, don't even send it to him. Like literally, I had just started doing family talks and it was like a 10-minute talk I think I did for Joe Polish and
cried.
It was like real emotional. And I'm like, I couldn't even watch it. It was so uncomfortable.
I don't even know if you've watched it.
I've watched it. It took me about 5 years to watch that one.
You should make him watch that your next birthday.
Yes. That's what? That's no. Well, now I think I could. But yeah, so you called me, Jason, and you're like, hey, I need you to come and do a family talk. This is what it's going to look like. And I remember saying to you, hey, honestly, I really appreciate, why do you want me to come and talk? You got Tim Ferriss and it was some other name I named to you. And you're like, no, this is important. I really want you to speak on this. And that was a big lesson for me, a boost of saying, okay, maybe I can put a chip on the table. Mm-hmm. And so I always appreciate that because that was part of my small beginnings. I mean, we're talking definitely in the first five talks that I've ever given was mastermind talks. So here I am with you guys and Ferriss and Altucher and, you know, I was shitting my pants, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then,
well, I mean, the truth about that situation is like, that was one of your first five talks. That's arguably one of the top five most important talks we've had in MMT over the years. And we've had easily 80, 90. And I can judge that based on it's been 8 years and actually seeing people apply the principles that you delivered in that 15-minute talk, because that's what, you know, I care most about and we care most about is not necessarily people the rah rah. We've actually had the rah rah big name speakers, and just like either they're not that exciting in the end, because our audience, as you know, they have pretty good BS meters. Yeah. So some speakers that like could thrive in other environments don't thrive in MMT. True. And that's actually why you thrived. You know, you may remember we had a model, we couldn't pay for speakers. So we did this competition model. If you won as the best talk as voted by the audience, and there was 15 speakers, you'd win a, you know, cash prize. And, you know, you were tied, I think, for third at that event. We had big name, like TED speakers and that kind of stuff. So it's a testament to like showing up honestly and authentically, which you did beautifully. But again, the message, when I look at like some of the longtime folks in our community who actually implemented it, I mean, I'm a great example of that. I've implemented board meetings with my daughter. They've taken an interesting turn. So it's not following the exact structure, so to speak, but it's arguably one of the most meaningful things that I do. And it's, I can guarantee when I'm on my deathbed, it's going to be one of the top three things I've ever done. With consistency. So
no, we appreciate that. And it, again, I give you credit for those small beginnings, because I thought you were bigger than you were. And it's not because you were so humble in that, but I'm like, and you just had this happy-go-lucky, hey, this is what
confidence,
I'm doing.
Right?
And whether it came across and you just showed real, I don't know, you were enthusiastic and you just seemed super calm, whether you're like, oh my gosh, no, I was the same as you.
Well, and this leads to my next point.
Because
I think in a situation like this, when, you know, here you are, you're putting on an event with this crazy idea, borrowed money, using gift cards, and you've got Candace there like, hey, what are we doing over here? And this sounds familiar.
Right?
Okay, so this is what I'm getting at. And then on the flip side, you know, here we are living our crazy life between kidney donation and then like, you know, these children and businesses swirling and such. And he's like, oh, I'm going to go do this thing. And so I think in relationships like ours, and maybe in every relationship, but I think entrepreneur relationships, crazy shit situations like us, there's a rock and a roll, right? And so I would say, I mean, I could guess probably, but Candace, who's the rock and who's the roll? And how does those things play out, and how important that is in these wild moments?
Oh my God, you have to be the role,
right?
Well, that's our relationship. Yeah, just to give it away, that's very clearly in ours.
Yeah,
too.
You would have to be. Yeah, and I mean, just to kind of touch on your humble beginnings and your last question. So, my addition to the actual experience and to the actual event has evolved and grown over the years. So it basically just started with, he decided he wanted to do this thing. I was on board, you know, let's throw the spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. And then I just saw that he just looked like so stressed out about all the things, right? You know, you're flying speakers in and, you know, you have a million emails to answer and you're trying to sell tickets on the other side and you're trying to design the experience or whatever. And so the one day I was just like, can I help with something? Like, is there anything here that, you know, I'm good with details, I'm organized and all that kind of stuff. Like, is there anything that I can help with? And so it started with a really small thing, which was just like, he said there was a lot of people coming that were not from Canada. And he wanted to do kind of something Canadian for them, like some kind of gift or some kind of thing that they could kind of take back that was like a little piece of Canada, knowing that probably most people weren't going to wander far off from, you know, the hotel and the event space and where we were hanging out. And then from there, you know, when that went well, it was like, oh, I really want to do these like icebreaker cards. Like, can you help with the design and like packaging of that? And then it started like, can you help, like, can you reach out to the speakers and help arrange for their, you know, like flights? And then it was, can you make sure that they know where they're supposed to be at what time and all of those kind of things. And so like organically, it kind of evolved into that. And I think like, that's kind of where I'm the rock. Like, I'm very kind of happy and like, I don't like there to be, I like a controlled chaos because I know that like working with him, I can do whatever I can do, but I have zero control over what he might throw at me at a given day. So like, I very much am like, okay, give me the parts and pieces. I'll make sure those are done so that you can do what you need to do. And also so that if anything kind of goes crazy, I have the mental space to be able to, you know, figure out a solution for that. And I'm not worrying about like 30 other things. So I think, you know, I was going to say, you know, it's kind of back and forth, but in reality, I'm the rock and he's the role for sure.
Right. And I think, and I see that so clearly in the two of you. I mean, very much so you're a free spirit, Candace, and you're, you know, you and I are the same, and that like our hair might be a different color, or something's pierced or tattooed, or like, you know, or we just might wander off into a forest for a little bit, like whatever that may be. And so in that way, like we might be a little more floaty than these guys are. But as far as like these popping ideas and this just like, I'm going to go for it. You know, I think it's so important that the balance, and that's where I see you guys working it, where one of you can kind of hold down and do those details, or even just to be able to hold that crazy, beautiful mind straight and be like, okay, just tell me what you do need. And then we can get to the other side of it, because mm-hmm. it's a fun ride, but it's a wild one.
Yeah. And I mean, the only thing I'd add is obviously the lines are blurred between work and home, right? And yeah. Candace, although she serves as a rock to some degree in the business, is even a bigger rock in, to me personally. Like, she's created a sense of home and family, which I didn't have. So that sense of safety and that sense of security and that sense of feeling tethered gives me the ability to maybe go after wild things, let's say, that some would deem wild. And just, yeah, just feel very kind of anchored in the process, because without it, I'd probably be spinning my tires, so to speak. So that's the interesting dynamic. And I know you can appreciate, obviously, working with your spouse and significant other. It's an interesting one. And I don't think there's a special formula, so to speak. But, you know, we've been doing it now for 8-9 years, and we're starting to get the rhythm of it. And even just hearing the whole conversation around rock, again, there's a huge emphasis on just my personal rock.
Yeah. So how do you guys balancing personal and professional, being parents, being spouses, and then working together? What are some things over the last 8 or 9 years that have gone well, and what's not gone well? Some wisdom to share.
Sure.
Well, I think at first, I don't think we realized how bad we were at communicating, or like appreciated the fact that we both grew up in families that didn't have a really good base for what like good
Yep.
quality communication actually look like. So, you know, it is really surprising looking back that things went as well as they did at times, given that it was just
sometimes.
There was really no format. And now over the years for us, that's like one of the most important things, right? Is to always be, you know, talking about things as they come up. Don't bury things under the rug and it becomes a huge issue later. So, you know, we set aside time every day, and even more so when we're leading into busy event season, to like, let's talk about business stuff. Then let's talk about home and personal and schedule, and how can we be there for each other, and who needs Slack picked up this week, you know, because they have a really busy week and that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, that's one of the things that's become really paramount for us. And unfortunately, it's one of those things that we've learned, like looking backwards. And I wish maybe we would have, you know, done a better job of it before. But I think, you know, we've really come by it, honestly, really stumbling through, you know, some bad communication, some things not being clear. And oftentimes just realizing that, like, even though, you know, we may disagree about small things, we're always all on the same page when it comes to like the direction that we're going in and the life that we're designing and the things that we want for the future. And just knowing that our steps and our individual journeys to get ourselves to that point in tandem don't always look exactly the same. In fact, they often look very different, and developing a sense of respect for like, your process is not my process, and my process is not your process. Yeah. Trying to approach each other in a way that's best for each of us, so that we both feel, you know, like heard and appreciated and seen, and that our needs are being taken care of. But, you know, a big part of that is working on yourself too, right? You know, not expecting your partner to be some kind of mind reader who knows exactly what you want or what you need or what you want them to say in a particular situation, and just getting better at like individually learning what our style is and what our needs are, and then bringing that to one another and finding a way to, you know, communicate and to do things that works for both of us, both making compromises to try to continue going in the same direction. I think that's a major thing that was real bad. It's better. Oh, it's a lot better now. I'm definitely not going to say it's perfect. It's always going to be a work in progress.
We don't aim for perfection. We gave up on perfection about 5 years ago. We're like, fucking perfection. It's just not in our cards. So we're not even going to try.
It's not in our cards. not when you have a million
these creative outbursts. How are we ever in the way that we the four of us live life or want to do, it just can't be completely clean. Just not.
There's nothing that about our lives that are static. I mean, that's the case for everybody. There's an argument for that for everybody, but I mean, it's definitely, I'm very habit and ritual driven. So it's easy to like refine and perfect those, but things get, you know, a wrench gets thrown in that all the time. And yeah, I mean, I would echo everything that Candace said. I mean, conversation wise, communication skill wise, I was horrible. We both had our challenges there, but I mean, recently we had it, and we leaned through a lot of doing our own personal work and working with therapists and that kind of stuff to get better on the communication skill side. But we haven't talked about this, but a couple, you know, weeks ago, we had a conversation that like, I was surprised that we could actually come to a resolution on our own. Like I was, I was almost like giddy in the, like, she didn't know this, but like in the background as we were talking, and I was like, hopefully she felt like she was heard and I was holding space and I wasn't like being reactive and that kind of stuff. You know, it ended in like us hugging, which is like, as opposed to me like bearing things down and that kind of stuff. So, and it was like, oh my God, the last 18 years of personal development, like it's come to this moment. We're actually able to talk.
Coming to it, yeah.
And also the one thing, which is a more new realization, and we've had some beautiful conversations as a result, is that shared vision. Because sometimes we would get into fights over the mechanics of things. Mm-hmm. And to me, as long as we can, like, we're in agreement of like where we want to go and why. So the what and the why, the how we can have discussions about, like, if you don't like the direction or where I'm investing my energy or what have you, and you feel that there's a better, you know, place I could be investing my energy to get us closer there, then let's have that conversation. But we didn't have that before. We didn't have that like real buy-in to like the vision of where we both want to be personally and in the context of our lives as a family. And that's been always good to continue to point to and have that as a North Star for our discussions.
That's so really well good. Said. And we do, I say sometimes, like you were saying, you're like on the inside, like, oh my God, look at us. Like we just did that. Like functioning adults having a productive conversation and we still like each other at bedtime. That's like the best feeling ever. Yeah. And, you know, I even sometimes I'll reflect to him. I'm like, wow, like we must really love each other. Like we've been in some serious stride for a period of time. And I'm like, but do you remember like sometimes when we weren't in stride, like we really love each other. And he's always like, well, yes, that's why we're here. And I'm like, no, but like, it's exactly what you're saying, Jason. Like I have moments of being like, this is unreal that this is like going, this is great that we're, you know, like you said, 18 years later. This
what, I think a real impactful thing that you guys said in the beginning is something like, you're like, oh no, you know, you don't want to look at the obvious. I don't know if you guys ever saw that video, the nail in the head, the girl has the nail in the head. Oh, the nail. It's like we carry things from things we went through when we were young unconsciously into this. And I know Jamie and I had things that we grew up with that, you know, were far from where we are trying to do with our family. And we do, you don't realize you're carrying that. And you do, you got to work on yourself and go, oh shit, that's not even mine. It's something that I'm bringing in.
And so or was a lot reinforced. Of times you don't see it until you're with that person, right? That's so mm-hmm. safe for you to then discover it mm-hmm. and look at it in all its ugliness and then kind of put it away, you know? And I just,
it's a process though.
It's been, I think we've known each other long enough to watch and see that evolution for all of us. And I think that like, proud of us. I'm proud of you guys. And a beautiful thing to share together and to share with other people that you, you know, that's a part of your life and growing together. Mm.
So what is the biggest, if you could go back 10 years for Mastermind Talks, what's one thing you think you would have done differently together? Or it could be separate from what you guys said that you think I would have maybe done the trajectory just a little bit this way, or I would have avoided this, or I would have gone all in on this. Is there anything like that? Because there's a lot of people out there that want to have events and impact and experiences like you do, including us, you know, with more family stuff. So it's like, what would be a trajectory change you'd make? Avoid this, do this. Is there anything that sticks out? I always...
That wasn't on our list.
Yeah. I'm like, what would I say to that question?
We're going to be spontaneous. We know that.
I like it.
But I'm the rock. I need to know what we're talking about.
Yeah, you're talking beforehand, so I can be prepared.
Stuff up in the middle of our conversation.
I'm learning here.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, but it's a tough one because being so far along the path. It's one of those things like that saying where like, you know, sometimes you wish you could change one little thing about a person. And then if you did, they might not end up being the same person, you know, that you ended up with at the other end. Right. And you kind of have to, you know, I can look back and certainly see there were some moments that were tough that I'd love to erase. Mm. But I feel like if I did, we wouldn't be where we are now. Yeah. And that would be a shame to me. So I find, I mean, I guess maybe just for me personally, maybe not having to struggle so much just with like my space and my self-confidence throughout it, because I know that was something that definitely reared its ugly head in ways, you know, that I'm not proud of now. But also I feel like this was a pretty amazing sandbox to figure out who I am and what I'm good at and where I, you know, deserve to be and that kind of stuff at the same time. So I don't know. I don't know that I would go back and erase anything, because I would worry we'd be so far from where we are now, even just by shifting one tiny thing.
That's great.
I don't know if I ruined your answer now, if you had something.
And I think that's huge, because I would probably have a similar answer and exactly what you said. Like, there are definitely moments in which the things in which I needed to address for myself showed up that I didn't even know existed. Mm-hmm. And I think that in hindsight, I can appreciate, probably as you can, that I had a partner that could hold space for that, mm-hmm. you know, or friendships that I knew, like, oh, even if I fall off or if I show my ass or whatever it may be, that like I'm in a safe space to learn mm-hmm. and grow together. Not that you asked, not that you asked me, but I think I would give that same answer.
This is our open moment. Question going around, I guess.
Everyone answered. Everyone, I'm like,
wow. No, but I see a lot of that, because I think you guys' relationship and roles together are very similar to the way in which we rock and roll together. And so,
yeah.
And I'm sharing that.
I wonder, you know, for myself, if we hadn't done all of this, would those kind of things ever come up for me, right? Like, if we hadn't been in the relationship that we were in and, you know, pursuing a business together and it starting off with small involvement and growing and the growing pains that came with all of that, like, would I have been able to work through the things that I needed to go through? Would those things have even come up, you know, without the, you know, the tension and the craziness of being life partners and business partners and parents and all that kind of stuff rolled into one?
The pressure brought the diamond.
Yeah, I think so.
So true. It does. So cool. What about you, Jason? I can see you pondering your thinking. I could see you.
Well, it's not an easy question to ponder. No, I mean, the thing is, I don't know. I sit with a question like that and, you know, you reflect back on all the inflection points in your professional career and personal life and that kind of stuff. And we're, as humans, we're just meaning seeking machines. So everything you like, every negative event, you're like, there's a reason for it. There's a meaning to it, that kind of stuff. So it's hard to look back and like edit certain things. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, the current expression of our life right now, I don't know how we would have got to it kind of otherwise. It's almost like, I mean, you're familiar with this, you know, in the entrepreneurial business scope of like, when you make enough money, you realize there's a lot more to life than money. And so you're like, you almost wish you could help other people curb, like learn that lesson quickly, so they don't chase like the empty things, like go right into like finding a life of like meaning and significance and that kind of stuff. And I used to be on that wavelength, so to speak. And then it just comes a point, like I wouldn't appreciate the importance of like a beautiful relationship or a beautiful friendship unless I pursued those meaningless things, one could say. So all those things that have, you know, at the times that we were maybe doing things for the wrong reasons or the frictions we had in our relationship or what have you has brought us to where we are today. And it's hard to imagine anything else.
That's great.
He likes to talk about often just like happiness and contrast, right? Like, how do you know what the highs are without the lows? So, you know, I don't think I'd remove any of them, because I don't think I'd appreciate where we're at.
Except the right pandemic. Now. I would have navigated the pandemic. I would have been in the mask business. I would have got out of events for 2 years.
You're in the virtual event space 2 years ahead of time or something like that. These things, though, I remember it was a thing from Man's Search for Meaning. Viktor Frankl did a paper on don't search for happiness, search for meaning. And if you search for meaning, then it's going to have joy and it's going to have sorrow and hard lessons, but that's going to create more meaning. So yeah, it's really good for you to hear. I honestly, when you were thinking, since you answered, I'm like, shit, I got to answer this, even though I just
went, please.
I honestly think, and this has been a big thing, I think I would have listened more. You know, when I say listen more, not to anyone, there's lots of bad just opinions out there. No, but to you. And to when I ask someone, like, really, really listen, you know, and take it, even when you were like, Jim, no, I want you to talk on this, come. There's still a lot of doubt and all that, and saying, hey, he's putting this together. He's saying that, listen to him. you know, when you don't, there's some people that give you good advice and they are sound in value. And I don't think I was as good a listener as I could have been. And I think I would listen better. That was, and definitely with Jamie, because I don't know about you, Jason, but I was kind of like, there was a little bit of protect. I don't want my wife to get involved with this. So I'd almost not take advice or answer questions because I want to drag her into some of the crap. But then she ended up getting dragged in anyway to help rescue the day. And I'm like, shit, I should have listened to her a little more on this or that, or, you know, taken to ponder that question a little more. So just, that's one of my goals from now till about, I'd say the next 5-10 years, listening is going to be a big one for me.
Until you can't hear anymore.
Yeah. But I caveat that with to the right people, you know what I mean? That's obviously fostering the right people around you, but, you know, make sure I listen. That's been a big one for me.
So Jason, earlier, I wanted to circle back a little bit. You said that you're a big habit and ritual guy. Mm-hmm. So what do you guys have any habits and rituals built around that balance between professional and personal and parent? You know, do you have any, you referenced doing the family board meetings and they've taken a different shape, but do you guys have any other things? I know you speak openly and you guys work well together and parent well together, but are there any strongholds that you have?
I mean, there's definitely certain habits and rituals we've tried to adopt as a couple, and some have had like false starts, so to speak. But I mean, I think by and large, we tend to do a pretty good job keeping our relationship at the forefront. There's also just different ways, like, you know, I've coming to the realization, and maybe she came to the realization that I operate like this, but like, I don't enjoy so much like a date night here and there. I much rather like go away for like 2-3 days and just be fully immersive. Like, and like that fills up my cup for 3 months, as opposed to like these little date nights don't do much. I'd have a hard time disconnecting. So we're just slowly continuing to get an idea or a handle on how both of us feel nurtured in that regards. But yeah, there are definitely some rituals that we embrace. Like before bed every night, we'd sit down on the couch and talk and that kind of stuff. But they haven't been as consistent as I would like, in the sense that, like, not as consistent as I would like, consistent enough for me to be like, hey, this is what you should do. I would feel inauthentic, so to speak.
Oh, just making it a goal, you know, just saying, hey, this is what we... Like how Jimmy, you know, James, I don't even, can't think of James's last name.
Rose?
Is, yes. Okay.
The incredible guy who looks like he's 30, or 60. Yeah.
Well, so he referenced this like whole speech that he says to his wife when they wake up in the morning. And like, I mean, we don't do that, but like most days we pray together, you know, and sometimes I'm unconscious and I have an awareness that like we are praying and I'm just like secretly, silently sending energy to our prayer. But you know what I mean? So to say, oh, well, I wish we did this more, but it's like an attempt. Like this is what we try to do daily. I just didn't know if there's any things that help keep your wheels on. And I love that example that, you know, weekly date nights aren't for you. Your cup is filled in bigger chunks. And I think that's so important for people to know about themselves, to just know what someone else's example is. It doesn't have to be how you unroll it. So I think that's awesome that you bring up that point too.
Well, not only that, and I think, go ahead, Candace, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Just another kind of big one for us that contributes a lot to our relationship, our parenting, our business is we take time alone. So every year, like I take a trip right before the holidays, which forces me to, well, other than pandemic time, but before the pandemic, I had a pretty good track record going of I'd go someplace warm, take like a suitcase full of books and literally just wake up and do whatever I wanted to do every day, whether that was like sitting on the balcony in a robe and ordering room service or, you know, going out on an excursion and that kind of stuff or whatever. And I always do it for before the holidays because it forces me to get ready for Christmas before Christmas so that I can actually enjoy Christmas. So it's actually like a two-pronged kind of thing for me because it was just... We have everybody now that we're in our new house. We have a, you know, longstanding plan now to have everybody over for like Christmas brunch and that kind of stuff. So it's like, you got to get through your own Christmas. Then you got to start cooking food and make sure the house is clean and all that kind of stuff. And so the holidays can be a stressful time, as lovely and as beautiful as they are. So we always try to do individual trips with Ava, do individual trips, he and I, and then like, you need to go. And, you know, mine is like, I'm going to go someplace hot and sit in the sun, you know, by a pool or something all day. And he's like, maybe I'll rent a cabin and go away from everyone in the forest for like 5 days or something like that. So even our vacationing styles are very different.
That's great. But
that's definitely, you know, kind of a non-negotiable. And we're always kind of talking about, and we're really good with each other where it's like, oh, you know, where are you going this year? Or when are you planning on taking your time? So like, we're always like checking in with each other and holding each other to that standard of like, no, like this matters. And it contributes a lot to our lives as people, our lives together, the way that we parent, just, you know, stress levels and feeling like you're taking care of yourself. So like, I would say that's a really kind of important one is we stay on each other to like, get your time in, go and do, you know, go and wake up and do what you want to do for 4 or 5 days and then come back. And the other one of us will pick up the slack, you know, don't even worry about it, whatever, you know, just go and take your time. And I think that's really a ritual for us. That's really important too.
Love it.
That's good.
Super important. Well, I got a wrap up question. It's our finale question. I don't know if you guys have heard it. So, you know, in the pandemic, as you guys know, it's not an easy, clean time. And so we all knew the question, oh, what would you say to your 21-year-old self? And we're like, nah, screw that. We need more wisdom. What would my 75-year-old self say to me? What advice would they give? So we started to do it. We've had unreal answers. And so it's kind of become a tradition for us on the show. So thinking now we're going years down the road, but
We now know what Jason looks like at 75.
Yeah, because of the pictures he did. So handsome older man. So 75-year-old Jason, 75-year-old Candace, like what advice do you think they'd give to you or to the rest of us?
Or encouragement or like.
What do you think they'd say?
Falling asleep.
Well, no.
He's deep in thought. That's like, he was like the thinker guy on the rock right now.
Well, you know what is actually, I just made the realization 3 minutes ago. For me to listen effectively, I actually can't look at people. So it looks like I'm disinterested looking down, but then I also start, So for me to actually listen deeply, I have to.
That makes sense. I do the same.
Well, there's that meme that says I'm at that age where I have to turn down the radio to find the address I'm looking for. I'm like, shh, I can't find where I'm going. And it's like them talking has nothing to do with where I'm trying to find.
One sense at a time.
But right,
Jason, I get it.
So what would my 75-year-old self tell my today self?
Yeah. What advice would he give to you?
Honestly, and this may not be the best answer, but is, I don't know.
The best answer, Jason.
Emotionally, it feels like the most important thing that 75-year-old self could say is you did good. Everything's going to be okay. I think I'm not a worrier by nature, but it just, you know, finances are always challenging and things there's always these uncertainties. And just to have, even, you know, if you're in conversation with a friend and they let you know, like you're on the right path. Nothing to me just makes you take like a sigh of relief just to have that validation, so to speak, so I'd have my older self be like,
okay.
That's,
I love it.
Yeah.
That's simple wisdom right there. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I think for me, it would be just celebrating your wins, like taking time to sit. Sometimes I'm getting better at this, but I'm still pretty bad at this, but just every once in a while to just sit and like actually take stock of where you at and what it took to get there and have just an appreciation for yourself and the things that you've been through and the ways that you've grown. And, you know, it's like that saying, sometimes people post it on Instagram to be very inspirational, but it's like, you know, remember years back when you were praying for the things that you have now. But yet then you've, you know, moved the goalpost to something else or whatever. So one thing that I strive to do is just stop for a minute. Don't live so much in the, oh, in 3 years, this is going to be amazing, and stop and think about why it's amazing right now. And, you know, appreciate yourself, what you've done, how much you've grown, look at your relationship, look at your, you know, look at how amazing your kids are, and, you know, appreciate that. You know, that's not all because of you, but you certainly played a part in all that. So I think appreciate where you're at. Stop every once in a while, you know, and just take stock and look around and look at how amazing things are, even when they're not fantastic, and just sit in that, even if it's just for a few minutes, and then go worry about what's coming up or what you're going to do in the future. But yeah, that would be what I would say.
I really like that. I think it would be a good reminder, like I'm thinking I need to write that on a mirror. Like, what? Stop and think why it's amazing right now. you know, we have a ritual at the end of every day. I sit at bedtime and the children are falling asleep, and I always say, today was a good day. And I list the things that were good, you know, and then I end, today was a good day. And sometimes days are really sucky and they're not good days, but we are like, we saw that bumblebee fly by and our shoes still fit us and dinner was, you know what I mean? Like sometimes
you're kind of grabbing,
you know, like we're just making shit up to be good. But I think exactly what you're saying, if you were to take a moment and just pause and be like, okay, day sucks, but why is it amazing right now? Because there's always some incredible, wonderful thing that's happening, even if it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a great reminder. Thank you.
Yeah, those are great. Everything's going to be okay. Stop and enjoy right your now victories. I like it. Great reminders. So
thank you guys so much. And where can our listeners?
Yeah, where can we direct to you guys?
That's a good question. So I'm on Instagram. So my name, Jason Gaynard on Instagram. Candace's is?
I'm Candy Itty Bitty. And for anyone who's interested in the ridiculousness that goes on day to day at our farm, we're on Instagram at Tiny Eden Farms.
I don't know how I didn't know that. And I love your farm.
Really?
Yeah. See, I think
well, come. Awesome. I post all of the hilarity and the mistakes and the things we are not prepared for when we're like, let's get more animals. And then we have no idea what to do.
You just got four new ones, right? Yeah. Four babies.
We got four different chickens and then we got three sheep.
Sheep is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm kind of glad you guys don't live too close because you, Candace and Jamie would be like, should we get another goat? I'd be like, no, no more.
I've been petitioning the person who owns the lot behind us. I just want to put up a big ass fence around this whole piece of property and not do anything other than just like, once a year, go to the Humane Society and get like the 10 oldest animals there and just throw them back there and then let them live out the rest of their life in like paradise. And maybe a goat or two will show up to like keep things tidy, but
they'll just show up out of nowhere.
They might have them at the like shelter too. I'm not sure. Sometimes
you'd find a goat shelter.
I would. Yes. So I speak the same, like, you know,
you guys are very similar,
you guys. So I love following you guys.
Which is a big compliment. So, but you guys have been a big impact in our life. We really appreciate. Thank you for what you do for us and even for our kids now that have gotten involved with MMT. It's very special to watch small beginnings start to have big impact. You guys have had a big impact on us, and we're internally grateful and we love you guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mutual. Thank you.
We love you too. Thank you for having us on. And we appreciate all the things that you've done for us, including letting me borrow your kids this last year.
they loved every bit of it.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.